next week, we're having a guest speaker in the morning, and his name is Mark Malott. He's coming from Texas. He's a man I went to school with, and first time out of the country, first time to New Zealand, going to be the first time with us, and I know it will be a blessing to you. I'm so excited, looking forward to that. Last week, we had another Mark from Texas visit with us. And I understand many of you made him feel welcome. Mark, we've been expecting you. Mark, it's so good to have you finally here. And so we got to do that with all our visitors. Okay? Try it next week. You might freak them out, or you'll make them feel really at home and welcome. But don't miss next week. It'll be a fantastic morning. We're in a part three of about a 200-part series that we're going to be doing called Running on Empty. Running on Empty. And today it's choosing what matters the most. You know, we could do a 200-part series on this because I believe too many people try to continue to run on empty. And maybe you're like that today. And you're saying in yourself, yes, I'm also running on empty. I'm running on reserve. I'm running on borrowed energy. And spiritually, you're drained. Or maybe in your mind, you remember the time that you became a believer, you became a Christian, and the excitement and the joy that filled your life was just so amazing and so intense, you wanted to win the world for Christ. And now, you're raising your hand saying, yes, I'm also running on empty. The reason for this series is because we want people to live the kind of life that God has for them. As a church, as your pastor, I want you to live the kind of life that God has for you. When Jesus said that I came to give you life and life more abundantly, He meant it. He meant it. That was what He wanted. And I want to start by doing a little bit of my own confessing. I have a hard time just sitting and doing nothing. Even on my days off, when Jennifer would like to have a time at home to relax, I'm saying, we got to go somewhere. We got to do something. I hate being quiet. I hate doing nothing. So we got to move. We got to do something. We talked the last couple of weeks about the perpetual noise that our life is filled with. The perpetual noise that just pervades every part of our life from the time we get up all the way through work to the time we go to bed. And so I hate just staying home or just taking time to do nothing. I don't like being late to things. And I see that half of you like being late to church sometimes. I don't like being late to things. With all of our kids except one, I believe, Jennifer was late. And I told her I just knew that if she would just focus and concentrate, she could have the kids on time. I won't tell you what she said to me. It wasn't very nice. But listen, I want you to think in your heart and in your mind if you can relate to any of these words that might describe your life right now. Busy. Empty. Stressed. Fatigued, feeling overloaded, and superficial in relationships, superficial in the things that matter the most. Do any of these words ring true in your own mind, in your own heart today? If it does, the message this morning is truly for you. On your outline there, you'll see there are some lies that keep us busy. Some lies that we believe that keep us busy. And maybe many of you in here right now are going to take a look at some of these lies and you're going to say, I don't even see some of these as lies. You'll say, but these are true. These aren't lies. I want to tell you that they are lies. And they're things that will take your mind and take your focus off of the things that are truly important. And they will scatter you everywhere else. And you'll miss the truly important things that God has for you in life. They're lies. And I want you to evaluate yourself on your own. as you take a look at your paper, it'll have an evaluation. And it'll say, I say these things some of the time, I say them all the time, or none of the time. But don't fill it out with the person next to you, because oftentimes when you fill it out with somebody next to you, you're not honest, and you lie to yourself, especially if it's your husband or wife. You'll lie to yourself and you'll lie to them. So put it in your mind, take it home, and evaluate yourself in an honest way later. Here's some of the lies. The first lie says, there's just not enough time to do everything. How many of you, especially moms, have said this one more than one time? There's just not enough time to do everything. Or a close cousin to that, if only there were just 2 more hours in the day, then I could get everything done. If only there was just another hour in the day, then I could do everything that I need to do. You know what? This is a lie. And the truth is, God has given you exactly the right amount of hours that He expects you to get done what He has planned for you. That's the truth. The truth is, there are enough hours. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. And as we take a look at these lies, as we take a look at some of the solutions, let's ask Him to open our hearts up. Ask Him to find our hearts ready to receive and receptive to Him and His Word and to the Spirit. Let's pray. Father, help us to understand some of the things that we have allowed in our lives that have subtly come in, that have taken away some of the joy, some of the joy of living and the fulfilling life that You have always intended for us to have. I pray, Lord, that we could see some of these lies for what they are, that we'd be able to reject them and to choose what is best. Open our hearts. Father, I pray for some in this room who have never made a conscious decision to trust Jesus Christ, to turn their lives completely over to Him, to receive Him as their Savior. They've never made that choice. I pray that You would begin a work in their hearts right now. Let them see the awesome life that You have for them. We thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. And everyone says, amen. Everyone says, praise the Lord. Are you awake today, or are your lips frozen shut? It is cold, but praise the Lord, we have each other in here, and we're keeping warm, keep each other warm. Maybe we need to sing another song. I don't know. There's not enough time to do everything. I wish I had more hours in the day. There's never enough time to do everything. Listen, as I said, God gave you just the amount of hours in the day that you need to get everything done. And we all have the same amount of hours. And if you're not getting everything done, somebody has mismanaged their time, and it's not God. So who mismanaged the time? You did. I did. That's the truth. And since none of us here like to take blame, we take a shot at God. Oh God, if only I just had a few more hours in the day. And maybe you don't like the idea of taking a shot at God, the creator of time. And so you think maybe, you know, I don't know, maybe it's Jesus or maybe the Holy Spirit's to blame. And so you just say, God, I don't know which of you three to blame, but if I had more hours in my day, then I'd be able to get everything done I need to do. And your life is full of busyness, and you're running on empty. And if you're saying these kinds of things, that's a good sign that you're also running on empty. You're spiritually empty. Number two lie is this. This is a big one. I've been guilty of this. I'm not standing before you as one who's never had any of these problems, never said any of these lies. I've been guilty of this too, and maybe you have. It's just a busy season I'm in right now. Have you ever said that one? I'm just in a really busy season, and once we get through this season, everything will be okay. Amen? You said that? This is a common lie. But the truth is, seasons always have a beginning and always have an end. And if your life is constantly in this busyness mode, in this busy season, and there is no end to it, it's not a season. It's a lifestyle for you. It's like being in Singapore. I understand there's not much of a season there, is there? It's just always hot. You can go there any time of the year, it's going to be hot and muggy and sticky and yucky and smelly and... No, I'm just kidding. But there's a season has a beginning and an end. And you say, I'm just in this busy season of my life. And a lot of us excuse putting aside the true important things in life because we say we're in this busy season. I have heard many a young person, especially, well, in high school and uni, and they say, you know, I really don't have time for Bible study right now. This is just a busy season. And my heart just kind of goes, oh, I understand exams. I understand assignments. I understand all these things. But what they are doing is developing and building a pattern in life that says, hey, when the busyness starts, God comes second. When the busy times in life comes, I have to push God aside just a little bit more. And we're developing them and training them to have this kind of thinking and to believe this lie and mentality. That's what we're doing. Parents, I just want to say, be cautious. I'm not saying there's never a time when something really important does come up. But if you're developing and seeing a regular habit of, oh, it's busy time now, so we don't have time for God, put up a red caution flag and say, put God first in your life and let Him take care of the rest. Because as soon as they're out of university, guess what? The busy season doesn't go away. The busy season will still be there. And it's not a busy season. It's busy people. And they get too busy for God. It's the person that's busy. And if you believe this lie, you will always be very busy. Because the season doesn't let up. The third lie. This is really, emphasize really, underline it and circle it, okay? Emphasize the really. This is really important. This is really important. Just this past week, I had a similar event that happened with Harry, my 10-year-old. He just turned 10 years old this month. He got in trouble again. He got in trouble, and Mom let him have it. And Mom said, Harry, for the next week, you're off the computer, bud. And this is devastating to Harry, the 10-year-old. He has this game on the computer. And it's, what is it called? Club Penguin. Have you heard of Club Penguin? Some of you have. Okay. Confession. Club Penguin. And he says, Mom, you can't do that. I don't know what's going on, but there's something going on this week. And if I don't get it this week, I'm going to have to wait a whole year. This is really important, Mom. And Mom started to feel a little guilty of taking him off the computer because he's going to miss out on something for the next 12 months. And she says, wait a second, what are we doing? There's always going to be some reason, something that just is standing out as so important that things have to wait. And she says, I'm not going to not punish my son because of some stupid thing on a computer program. There's always going to be something important. And if you develop that at a 10-year-old level, it's going to develop at a 40-year-old level even greater. This task, this person, this meeting, this opportunity, we line up these things in front of us that are really important, and we're constantly faced with this high level of busyness. And here's the thing, too. It's not just what we think is important, but we let what everyone else thinks become important in our life as well. And they just line them up in front of us. And so our things that we have allowed in our life and the things of everyone else as well become so important in that line as well. And what others do is they transfer their urgency and they become our emergencies. They transfer their urgencies on us as well. One thing I know, and this is truth, busy people always will make time for something that they find is important in their life. Busy people will always take time for something that they feel is really important in life. I appreciate my deacons. I appreciate my ministry team because I know that they're busy people. And I like that they're busy. They are productive people. But they also will say, God is important. His church is important. The ministry is important. I always have time for that. I always make time for that. They're there. What happens when you're going through life, though, and everything is important, is you begin to run on reserves and you begin to run on empty. If you don't discern the things that God says, this is important, this is what I want you to do for your life, you're going to be running on empty. And when you're running on empty, you don't have the discernment, you don't have the wisdom, you don't have the intelligence to be able to discern what is important and what is not. You know what I do? Come lunchtime, I get very hungry. And like a lot of men, when I'm hungry, I get cranky. And I'm cranky, and I'm not thinking right, I'm not thinking clear, and I get very irritable. And so today, about noon, don't come to me with big problems, all right? We got class after church. And come noon, I'm starting to get hungry and cranky. And if you come to me with a problem, I might bite your head off. And you don't think proper, you don't think clear. And when we're running on empty in our lives, in our spiritual walk, the same thing is applying. And we're not discerning, and we don't always focus on the things that are important, and everything becomes important. If I were to take you out for a lunch today, and we sat down face to face, knee to knee, eye to eye, and we talk about things that are important in life, values in life, I would venture to say most of you in here would tell me the most valuable thing in life is God first, my family second, and jobs and careers and school, everything else third. God first, family second, and everything else comes in third. That would be the values. But oftentimes, we add this value into our, because it's in our culture, this value of busyness. I was talking to somebody this past week that busyness, just being busy, is almost seen as a virtue today. Just being busy is seen as a virtue. In fact, that's how we greet each other all the time. Hey, how you doing? I'm doing fine. Hey, you keeping busy? Yeah, I'm busy. How about you? Oh man, it's been so busy this week. And we just focus on, are you busy? You staying busy? Yes, I'm staying busy. Busy isn't always the best, though. We go through times of busyness, of course. But busyness isn't best. Choosing what is best is best. Choosing what God has for you to do is the best. I'm going to tell you something that may hurt some of your feelings. But busy people who are not choosing the best, but just busyness, are broken people. They're broken emotionally. They're broken spiritually. Relationally, they're broken people. I'm going to show you in Luke chapter 10 a conversation that Jesus has. It's not a story, it's not a parable that he told or anything, but it's a small, short event that happened. It's a small event that happened, and we see two people. Jesus has a conversation that involves two different people. One chooses better, and one chooses something that is not better. Jesus and his disciples, his apostles, came in Luke chapter 10, verse 38. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted. Martha was what? Okay. She was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, Don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and I will not be taken away, and it will not be taken away from her. Mary's chosen what is better. I want to stand before God at the end of my life, and I want to hear those words as well. Ken, you chose what was better. There were lots of things in life that came at you. There were lots of important, urgent things that came your way, but you chose what was better. You chose what I wanted in your life. Jesus came to this woman's house with his 12 disciples. It was customary, as you came into somebody's home at this time, it was customary that two things would be done. Number one, you would expect someone to wash your feet. Everything was dusty, and they had, you know, sandals on. And so they were dirty, dusty, and it was refreshing. A servant or somebody in the house washed your feet. And second, you would get some food. And the impression we get from this text was not that Martha was only hospitable, but she was being a little bit too hospitable. Everything had to be right. Martha was busy setting the table up just right, putting on the tablecloths, getting the candles lit. The floors had to be swept, and she had to make sure the cushions were fluffed up for Jesus. And her sister, by the way, Martha might have been the very first Martha Stewart. The Bible doesn't tell her last name, but it might have been Stewart. Her sister was doing just the opposite. Her sister, whose name was Mary, was sitting at Jesus' feet, taking advantage of each opportunity just to be with him. One was busy. One was very productive. One was very busy, but the other one chose better. One was busy, the other one chose better. And what I want to do, I want to show you this pattern of busyness. As I took a look at this short passage, this short episode, I see a pattern of busyness in Martha's life that also becomes evident in my own life. And maybe it'll be evident in your life. And if we can see the pattern of busyness, we can be more careful and we can watch out for it and be prepared for it. Martha had good intentions, first of all. It begins with good intentions. Martha's intentions were not evil. She wasn't an evil woman, was she? She had good intentions. She wanted to do things just right. She wanted to provide things just right. But Jesus said that Martha was distracted. Distracted. Think about this. God in the flesh. God in the flesh comes to your living room. And he wants to sit down and, you know, you're eating, you're snacking, you're having chips and you're drinking coffee. And what is so important that had to get done that couldn't wait until he left? Martha was distracted by the wrong things. Think about it. If right now Jesus came and sat next to you here and said to you, whispered in your ear, said, hey, I want to talk to you. You have some time to talk. What would you say? All of a sudden you think of all the things in the church that might need to be done. Oh, Lord, I got to go clean out the closets. I saw the closet. Have you seen the closet by the bathrooms lately? They're really getting out of order. They're really getting smelly. I'll go take care of that for you first. Would you do that? You'd be an idiot. That would be stupid. Of course you wouldn't. In that moment, the church itself and service in the church would be a distraction. Amen? That would be the distraction. I tried this the other day. I like to go to the gym and I get on a treadmill and I start running. And I tried this. I tried putting a magazine up there to help me enjoy my time. Because I get a little bored after a while of just running and going nowhere. And so I stick up a magazine on top there, and you're running away, and I'm trying to read. Now, I can see the pictures okay, But I'm trying to read, and you know, the print is pretty small. And I just realized, hello, it's so difficult. Now, if I'm walking along at a nice leisurely pace, like maybe some of you do at the gym, if I'm just walking along at a nice leisurely pace like Casey, Casey doesn't run at the gym. But if I'm walking along, yeah, I could see it. But the truth is, the faster you go, the faster you run on the treadmill, the harder it is to really focus. Amen? And the truth is, the faster we go in life, and the faster that we try to get the most things done that we can get done, the harder it is to focus on some of the small print, some of the things that maybe God wants to whisper to us, some of the things that God wants to put in our heart, put in our minds, some of the things that God says, this is what I really like for you to do. This is the ministry I'd like for you to have. I have a plan for you. I have a mission for you to do. But we're too busy running so fast, and all we can see is maybe some of the big pictures go on by. We can't do it. You can't focus when you're going too fast. Number two, pattern of busyness. We may have good intentions, but still not choose what is best. Our intentions may be there, but intentions do not get the job done. Number two, we see pressure and pity arrive. Pressure and pity. You're busy running away on the treadmill, and you start getting a bit worked up, and you feel the pressure. And then you start looking around at others who may not be running as hard as you, and you get upset about it. You start feeling the pressure, and you start having a pity party for yourself. Martha says to the Lord in verse 40, Lord, don't you care? That's what she said to him. Lord, don't you care that I'm working so hard, getting everything done, getting everything prepared, and my lazy sister, she's just sitting here at your feet, just listening to you. Don't you care? Does this seem right to you, God? Now, we're not told in the text what was the boiling point for Martha. Something happened in the kitchen, and it was the last straw. It was the final thing. Maybe she pulled out some pots, and there was another pot inside the pot, and that fell out and broke all the eggs. And the eggs splashed on the fig appetizer, and then all the clanging scared the camels outside, and they started spitting at her, and it was just a nasty mess, and she said, this is too much. She snaps. You ever snapped? And maybe it was something very small. You dropped the egg, and you snapped. That's a sign here. It's a sign. It's one of these symptoms here. Pressure and pity arrive. You're under the pressure, and all it takes is egg dropping sometimes for it to finally snap and say, that's enough. You have no margin in life. You know what it means to have a margin in your life? That means that you have enough room, and when something difficult and something bad comes along, you can take it, you can handle it, you can deal with it, you can get through it because you have an area of margin. But if you're running on the edge continually and you're busy and you're on that treadmill going flat out, there's not much room for margin. And it takes an egg drop and you snap. You can't take it anymore. So we see pressure and pity arrive. Number three, we see resentment arrive. This is what busyness leads to. Resentment follows. Verse 40, Martha says to the Lord, tell her to help me. She says, don't you care, first of all, and then tell her to help me. I'm flat out, I'm busy, I'm running away, and she's not. And I'm resenting that. You can almost hear the resentment in her voice. Jesus, tell my sister to get a little more in sync with my agenda, with what I'm supposed to do. If Mary was more like me, your feet would already be washed. If Mary was more like me, you'd have lots of food right here for you, and we'd be trimming your beard and making you... Everything would be nice. Resentment is a sign of busyness. How do we summarize this? I just want to summarize it with two things. Busy isn't better. choosing better is better. You understand that? Busyness isn't better. Choosing better is better. While Martha was working, Mary worshiped. She chose better. While Martha was distracted, Mary was focused. She chose better. So how do we take action? We've been looking at Mary and Martha. Now I want to go after you. What do you do today to take on action on this busyness and running on empty in your life? What do we do today? Number one, let's confess the lie first. For me in my life, there's times I need to step back and confess a lie that I may be believing that's preventing me from choosing what's best. Identify the lies that we just looked at on the front part of the message. You confess them. You confess them for what they are. They're lies. They make you sick. They make you filthy. They're lies that act as landmines in your life that will blow you up. And when you begin to think, there's just not enough time in my day to do everything. When you begin to think, I wish I had more hours in my day, you need to stop and say, that's a lie. That's a lie. There's some things in my life that I may be allowing in that God doesn't intend for me. So I need to own up, first of all, and confess that this is a lie. When you're tempted to say, it's just a busy season right now. In a little while more, I'll have time for my family. I'll have time for my kids. I'll have time to serve the Lord in ministry. But right now, I'm in a busy season. So when you start to think that one, look in the mirror, look at yourself and say, liar, liar, pants on fire. Look at yourself and point and say, you're a liar. When you're tempted to try to justify to a friend or to your spouse, this is just stuff I really have to do. This is just really important. I want you to give them permission to pick up a stick and to smack you with it. And smack you with it and remind you that this is just a lie that you're choosing to believe. And it's a lie that can keep you away from choosing what is best. Are you choosing best? We need to confess the lies. What lie do you need to confess that keeps you so busy, busy enough to keep away from what God wants in your life? I don't have time. Like I said, everybody, if I was to sit and talk with you, you'd say, God is important first, my family second, and work third. But the truth is, a lot of times, in reality, that's not, if I was to watch your life, would I come to the same conclusion? If I was to watch your life, would I say, hey, family is first. It is important in your life. God is first. Family is second. And everything else is third. Would I see that same thing if I was to watch you? Confess the lie. Number two, you name some distractions. This is what I want to encourage you to do. I want you to take a piece of paper and begin to list all the responsibilities that you have to do, the things in your life that you have to do. Write them down. The events that you have to go to, the carpools that you do, the activities that you have to show up to, the activities you have to haul your kids to and from, the ministries that you serve in. List all these things that you have and begin to see if any of them might be distractions. And when you find, as you find that some of them may be distractions, you got to begin to do the hard thing of crossing them off. These things, they're busyness. They're making me run flat out on the treadmill. But it's not part of what I believe is the important things in my life. Begin to cross some things off. Remember that busyness isn't always better. What is better? Choosing better is better. Maybe the most spiritual thing you can do this week is to learn one very special word, and that is no. No. Some of you are yes people. Yes people fill up their calendar with everything under the sun. And one thing that I've learned is that it's far easier to fill up your calendar than it is to remove things off of your calendar. It's far easier to do that. Not everything that comes your way, God expects you to do. Not everything that comes across your life and people ask and things that are urgent on some people, God expects you to do. God doesn't. But He does want you to choose what is better. And that may mean saying no to some people and saying no to some things, but being able to choose what is best. Listen, Jesus was very, very busy. He was a busy man, but He did His Father's will. He always says, I came to do my Father's will. That's it. Nothing more, nothing less. And there were many times that crowds would flock around Jesus. He'd have to get aside away by Himself. Leave Him alone. But they were demanding. There were needs. There were people who needed to be healed. He says, it's not time yet. There was a time a man came and said, Jesus, my daughter, she's dying. I need you to come right now. It's urgent. And Jesus says, it's not time. And he waited 2 days before he went to go help his daughter, and she died. He waited 2 days to go and help because he says, your agenda is not going to be my agenda. The things that are just important to you is not the things that God has necessarily called me. I want to choose better. I want to choose better because busyness isn't better. Choosing what is better is better. And to do that, you need to be in tune and touch with God. You need to be in continual fellowship with God. You need to be in God's Word. You need to be praying. Listen, in a couple of months, we're going to be having a missions conference here. And I'm excited about our missions conference. It's going to be fantastic this year. We're going to do a conference on a Friday night, Saturday afternoon and night, and on Sunday morning. And we have some guests coming. We have some guests coming from overseas. We have you'll find more information out, but we have a team of about 40 or 50 people from the U.S. coming over. And they're going to be here doing kind of like a concert. They're going to be singing. It's going to be a wonderful night, but the focus is missions. There's going to be a speaker who's been a missionary in China for many years. He's going to come and share his heart with us. And one of our big things that we're praying about in missions at IBC is this idea of going ourselves. Going. And we're joining up, we're hooking up with a missions agency to plan for the next year a missions trip. Because I want God, and I'm praying for God to call someone in our congregation to go to the mission field. Someone that we can send and go and do a mission work in wherever God sends them. But our heart and our desire is in Asia and in China and the work that's going on over there. But listen, if you're not choosing what is better, you'll never get there. God may have a desire and a plan for you, but if you're too busy with all the busyness and with the distractions, you're never going to hear God speak. It's not going to happen, and you're going to miss it. You're going to miss it. Choose what is better. Which leads me to number three. You choose what is better. This is the fundamental thing of living life as a follower of Christ. If you're a follower of Jesus, if you're a follower of Him, and again, not everybody is a follower of Jesus Christ. Some of you in here may not yet be followers of Christ. You may be interested. You may be experienced in church. You may be interested in spiritual things. But if you've not made a decision, a conscious decision to receive Christ only as your sacrifice for your sin, you're not yet a follower of Christ. You're a seeker, but you're not a follower of Christ. You have to come to that decision. But if you're a follower of Christ, this here is your standard. The Bible is your standard. You want to hear God's voice? Start here. Start here. Don't start anywhere else. Don't go expecting God to speak to you in dreams and visions and wonders, and you're not even reading God's Word, though. It doesn't work like that. God has given us His Word. He's given us what He wants for our lives. This is the standard for making decisions. If you're not a follower of Christ, my question would be, what is your standard? What is your standard for basing ethical decisions on? What is your standard for the things that you value and say are important? What is the standard for your choices? What's your standard in life? Do you have something that you can hold up and say, this is my standard, and I cannot move because it does not move? There's got to be some standard for your choices. My next question, though, for you Christians, is, are you making your choices by that standard? Are you making your choices by that standard? I'm amazed, unpleasantly, at even the number of pastors, full-time missionaries, that have lost their kids to the world. The number of full-time missions workers and pastors whose kids really want nothing anymore to do with church and with God. They just don't want nothing more to do with it. Why is that? The pastors, the missionaries, they've been very busy serving the Lord. Is that necessarily evil? No. But it's not always the same as choosing what is best. God tells them, you minister to your family first. Lead your family first. There's this book out, and I heard him speak at a seminar I went to recently. A pastor by the name of Andy Stanley, son of Charles Stanley. Have you heard of Andy Stanley? Have you heard of Andy Stanley? He's pastors a large church, son of Charles Stanley in the States. He wrote this book that's called Choosing to Cheat. Who wins when family and work collide? And the whole premise, he says, every time you choose to do something, at the same time you're choosing to cheat somebody else. Every time you say yes to something, you're choosing to cheat somebody else. Every time at work you choose to work those extra 2 hours each night, you're choosing to cheat your family out of time that they have with their dad or with their mom. Every time you choose one thing, you're cheating something else. He says, therefore, you have to be able to choose to cheat correctly. And he says, in his life and in the life of others on staff at his church, he says, I tell them, choose your family first. Cheat the church if you have to, but choose your family first. Why? Because he doesn't want to see more ministry casualties. He doesn't want to see more pastors losing their families because they've been totally yielded and committed to the church, but the family comes second. And that's a shame. In closing today, I want to ask you what your life would look like if you chose best. If you chose on purpose to take a look at your list and be able to cross the things off that don't match up to your criteria of things that are important that God has called you to do. Take a look at your list. I'm going to ask you what your life would look like if you continually sought God and were able to choose the best. What is it that God would have in your life? What would your life look like if you had margin in it, room in it? What would your life look like if You know, come Tuesday or Wednesday or Thursday, and it's time for your small groups, your life groups, and you were just so looking forward to it all day because you were going to be with others, you were going to be fed, you were going to be encouraged, you would get the fellowship instead of say, oh man, I got to go to group tonight. Oh, I'm so tired. Oh, I've been so busy, I just don't have time for group. What would your life look like if you had a bit of margin? What would your life look like if you had enough margin that you actually came to church and you were actually a little early? And you had time to have a coffee and have time to discuss and talk with your brothers and sisters. And time to sit and prepare your heart a little bit for the worship that you're going to give to God. What would your life look like if you had that kind of margin in your life? Instead of rushing in at the last minute, sitting down and, okay, God, I'm ready. And you give God kind of leftovers. God is worth more than that. But if you're running on empty and you're not choosing what is best, you're going to give God the leftovers. Not only that, but you're going to give your family the leftovers. They get leftovers. They get burned out moms, burned out dads. And you give them leftovers. And yet we still say, God is first, family second, everything else third. And we end up giving God and family leftovers. Something's not right. Something has to change. And today I want to encourage you to, today, begin a pursuit to choose best in life, not always busyness. Stand with me. We saw Jesus speaking to two ladies, sisters. One of them was flat out busy. Jesus said she was distracted though. One of them was serving, focused on service. Jesus said she was distracted. The other one was focused at the feet of Jesus Christ, just begging to hear another word, just sitting there waiting to hear something else from him, to be with him while he was there, to not leave his side, not risk leaving in case she missed something. She didn't want to miss anything. Jesus said she chose what was best. Are you choosing what is best? Do you want to choose what is best? With everybody's head bowed, please, eyes closed, this is our private time of decisions with God and us. I first want to ask your honesty, your acknowledgement. If you would say, Pastor Ken, I've believed, I've stated these lies quite frequently. I just don't feel I have enough. There's no margin in my life. And I'm running on empty. And I don't believe I'm always choosing what is best. Sometimes I'm just choosing busyness. If that's your testimony right now, just quietly lift your hand up where you are, because we're going to pray and we're going to make a commitment today in this church. Is there someone who would say, Pastor Ken, I don't always choose what's best and I'm running on empty? Would you slip your hand up? Amen. All over the room. All over the room. Anyone else? Be honest with yourself. Be honest with God. If that's your testimony, just be honest. Hey, praise the Lord. I appreciate your honesty. And I think God is speaking here. I think God is speaking to you. God is touching your heart, your life. He's bringing some things out to your attention that need to be addressed. Some things that maybe need to be confessed. Some lies that you've been believing. And you've been running, but it's like running on a treadmill, and you're getting worn out and tired. it's time to get off for a little bit, to just sit at the feet of Jesus and to feed off of Him and His words for a while. And today I want to encourage you to do that, to make that commitment in your life. I'm going to ask you to do that in just a moment. I want to ask another question. Listen, maybe you're here and you're also relating, yes, I'm running, I'm in busy mode, but I feel like there's more to life. And there's never been a time in your life that you've asked Jesus Christ to be your Savior, your Lord, your King, your Master. You've never done that. You've never made a conscious decision to turn your life over to Jesus Christ. You've never sought His forgiveness for your sin. I want to tell you that's step one. Come to Him. Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary, heavy laden. I will give you rest." Do you need rest? Is there anyone who would acknowledge, "Pastor Ken, I've not made a decision yet to trust Christ as my Savior. I've not done that. I don't believe there's been a time in my life." Would you just quietly slip your hand up? I won't embarrass you. I won't get you. I won't call you out. I just want to pray for you right now. Is there anyone, Pastor Ken, I've not made that decision yet to trust Jesus Christ. It's not been something that I've done on purpose. Amen. I see that. Anyone else? Thank you for your honesty. Anyone else? Before we go to the next step. Okay, listen. I'm going to ask for two things. One, you who acknowledge I'm running on empty and I haven't been making the better choices. I've been making the busy choices, but not the better. And today, I want to acknowledge these lies. I want to do something about it. And I want to begin the pursuit of choosing best in life, choosing the things that God wants me to do and saying no to the things that aren't in His plan, in His will, and the wisdom to know these things. I want to ask you to come forward. I want to ask you to come forward to the front. We're going to have a word of prayer in just a moment. As the music's playing quietly, would you come now? Step out where you are. Step out where you are. Make this statement to God, to the Lord, to anyone else. It doesn't matter. You're going to step forward. You're saying, "I'm not wanting to just choose busyness. I'm wanting to choose best now." If you're needing to make a decision to trust Christ, I want to ask you also to come forward. I want to ask you to come forward to the front. And I want to pray with you. I would have someone to also pray with you and to show you how you can receive Christ. But I don't want you to leave here today. When God is speaking to your heart, when He's calling you, that's it. Just come to the front, everybody, and spend some time in prayer. And I'm going to pray in just a moment with you. But if you need to trust Christ, I want you to step forward as well. Step forward and join these who are here committing themselves. And today, choose Him as your Savior. Just another moment. Those of you, if God is speaking to you, listen, I'm not here to manipulate and push, but I'm just saying, if God is speaking to you, He's calling you, you need to step out. You need to come make this commitment and decision in your life. Amen. Those of you who are still in the congregation, I want you to lift your hearts up with me. I want you to be praying for these who are at the front and the commitments that they're having to make right now. Pray with me in this. Father, these here these here are coming to you, Lord. Because, Father, they're wanting to choose what is better in their life, not just what is busy. They're wanting to be like a Mary and not just a Martha. Father, when we're so busy in life on that treadmill, we can't focus on the still small voice that you speak to us with. So, Lord, I pray that they would at this stage recognize the lies that are in their life. Lord, that they would confess them and choose what is better. Give them the wisdom, Lord, to see the difference. Give them the wisdom to even write down the things that fill their lives and schedule and be able to see, are they in line with the things that they say are important? Father, I pray that you would give them the power, give them the power of the Spirit in their lives to choose what is best, and that they would be able to stand before you one day in heaven and you say, you chose the best. You did what I put you on earth to do. You fulfilled the purposes that I gave to you, the missions that I wanted for your life, the ministries that I wanted you to be a part of and serve in. You did it. Well done, good and faithful servant. Thank you, Lord. I pray, Lord, for those who are contemplating the step of trusting you as their Savior, even now. I pray that today they would have that settled in their life and their heart. Lord, that they would begin that walk, that they would lay their burdens and cares on you and take your yoke upon them, and that you would give them rest and peace, that you would carry their load for them. Thank you, Father, for what you're doing in this place, in this building, in this church. And we pray this in Jesus' name, and we all say, Amen.